Bonjour, and welcome to the Amateur Detective Club. This club is exactly how it sounds. A bunch of amateurs talking about their favorite mysteries. So if you encounter a real mystery or a murder, contact the proper authorities. Do not come to us. We do not know what we are doing. But enjoy the program. Allons-y. Let us begin.
I now call to order this meeting of the Amateur Detective Club. My name, you know it, you love it. It's Tristan Miller, the Saucy Sleuth.
I'm Melissa Maley, the Spy.
I'm Tyler Riley, Cop and a Half.
I want to let you know that today's show is brought to you by Audible. Audible is offering our listeners a free 30-day trial membership and a free audiobook with that. You can go to audibletrial.com/ADCpod and browse the unmatched selections of audio programs, download a title free, and start listening. It's that easy. Just go to
audibletrial.com/ADCpod.
Yep.
I'm sorry, what was that?
audibletrial/ADCpod.
audibletrial.com/ADCpod.
So, we've all had a heck of a time. We were supposed to record, 45 minutes ago, and all delayed because of rain.
We were also supposed to record last week, but that was my bad.
Yeah. All good.
Also, speaking of my bad, listeners, you may hear some noise behind me or on my end this afternoon. I have people over that are looking at my heating unit in my apartment.
It's an exciting time. We're going to have a fun energy in this one.
Absolutely. For our 100th episode, we're going to be
cringing
and frustrated. And ain't that just how it goes?
So this is fun. Yes, this is our 100th episode. Hey, look, we did it, guys.
Of our 100th episode. Okay.
Actually, it's only Tristan's 100th episode.
Oh,
is it?
Yeah, what? I missed two.
You weren't there at the beginning?
No, I was there at the beginning. I missed two because I was sick.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. So, screw y'all.
Happy anniversary, Tristan, I guess.
Thank you so much. What did you get?
Happy 100th to Tristan only.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And to the podcast as a whole, I guess.
Yeah.
But I made chocolate chip muffins this morning.
What?
Yeah.
All these years I've been bringing baked goods to the podcast, you ain't make us muffins.
Well, okay. The baking, yeah, let's talk about this. So
let's talk about baking.
Because the actual thing I want to be doing, theater, is not happening right now. I've been leaning into hobbies. Of course, you all know I run. But I've always kind of liked baking. And then I just started to go hard into baking in the past couple of months, I suppose. Something like whipping up some chocolate chip muffins on a Saturday morning before we record the podcast is now something I do, apparently.
That's great.
But I'm trying to get good at pastry and bread. That's where I want to focus. I don't need to make any illusion cakes. That sounds way too much fuss. I'll probably try and make some like weird, you know, cakes from the 1800s that have like 12 layers of pancakes or something in them. Just for fun.
My HR director person.
Mm-hmm.
Our single HR person at the company where I work, she's been doing using this medieval cookbook through the pandemic and has been like recreating like medieval meals.
As if she wasn't suffering enough. She has to keep a soup going for 12 days.
She's been having a blast, though, apparently.
Good.
That's wild. I have a friend who made bœuf bourguignon, Julia Child's recipe.
Oh, it's so long, but I want it so bad.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, why not? I might pull out my Joy of Cooking cookbook and point at something and try and figure it out.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
The hell's an illusion cake? Oh. Is that when David Blaine, like, cooks something up? Like,
yes. That's right.
Mind freak.
An illusion.
Is that him?
An illusion.
Yeah, Chris Angel was mind freak.
Yes. Okay. Right.
Okay. Wait, or did you say David?
I said David Blaine, okay, but then you were regardless.
Wrong. Chris Angel, mind freak. Yes.
It's when Harold Houdini rises from the dead and bakes you a little cake.
Yes.
No, Impractical Jokers, that's him, right?
Yes.
Okay. My boyfriend knows them a little, the Impractical yeah. Jokers. They're from Staten Island, you know.
This does not surprise me based off of the premise of their show.
I'm still mad that I was almost cast in an episode.
And I alas didn't and get alack.
Oh, that is a shame.
But what's an illusion cake?
An illusion cake is a cake that looks like something that's not a cake.
So anything could be an illusion cake.
Well, no,
but you're not sure.
The thing is, it is a cake.
People on the Instagram when they were like, this is like a filing cabinet. And then someone like takes a knife to it and it's like, oh, but it's cake.
Correct.
Like that
that's
thing.
Right.
I disagree morally with that. It's upsetting to me. Have you seen the Japanese game show where something in the room is made of chocolate?
No.
So you just have people going around biting into things and trying to find the chocolate.
That's amazing.
It's phenomenal.
Oh, I love
highly
that.
Recommend.
That's very Japanese. Big Japanese energy, and I love it a lot.
Mm-hmm. They definitely had to shut that down during COVID. I know that.
Yeah. Just putting your mouth on everything.
Things after somebody else.
Let us all lick something together.
Good.
Yeah.
But yes, I have a good friend who makes illusion cakes and is very good at cake. And I don't want to step on her toes. So, I mean, also,
there could only be one.
It's also not my thing. Like, yeah, I usually want like one piece of cake.
You're lucky.
And then I always want pastry though. So last week I figured out how to make choux pastry.
Ooh.
And
I thought you weren't doing illusion. I also don't know what choux pastry is.
C-H-O-U-X, right?
Correct.
Choux.
Mm-hmm.
A chalks pastry.
Yes, a chalks pastry. And I made cream puffs. I made cream puffs.
Yes, you did.
Mm-hmm. With crumbs.
Sorry, no, you posted.
Like you were talking to a dog. Yes, you did.
No, I'm sorry. I remember you posted something in reference to it, right?
I posted some pictures. I made the cream puffs. I made them with a vanilla whipped cream or a creme chantilly, if you're fancy, and a chocolate ganache that I drizzled over them. And they tasted great. But this is the same kind of pastry that you would use to make eclairs as well. It's just piped differently. It's the same flavor profile as what I made, basically, though.
Mm.
Yeah. So
I got good at making chocolate chip cookies at the beginning of quarantine, and then I gained 5 pounds, and I was like, well, that's that, then I gotta stop.
I have extra chocolate ganache, and I want to make chocolate chip cookies with chocolate ganache filling in them.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'll be in Astoria this week, so
great. I might just do that and give you all of them except for the one I eat.
Perfect.
Because
that's ganache. Who's there? Is that anything? I don't know.
Oshkosh ganache.
Yes, I would like some good sweet goods for my son.
Yep. Yeah. The problem about my baking is that I generally want like one or two, and then I don't, and then I don't want them anymore. So.
Lucky again. I will eat an entire cake in one day.
Oh wow.
Yeah, my brain just is like, okay, so if it's sweet, it goes in.
Mm.
But it can't be like there's nothing worse than like a double chocolate cake, though. It's too sweet, too much.
Interesting.
I like a yellow cake with fudge on top.
That is good.
That's perfect.
I like a marble cake.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter the frosting.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I gotta
as long as it's not like a flavored frosting.
Yeah, true.
Like on a marble cake. Like I'll do lemon and something fun like on a vanilla or yellow cake.
Yes, agreed.
Oh, I just thought about a lemon square.
Oh, I can make those.
Oh, I would die. A lemon square?
Tristan, I'll make some lemon.
The say what now was in reference to Melissa saying she can make them.
Oh, okay. I was confused. I was like, I think I've seen you eat a lemon square, Tyler. Yeah,
that's like my like height of dessert. Peak dessert is lemon squares.
This is very good to know. Good. Yeah. I think I made like I made lemon raspberry bars on 4th of July last year.
Oh.
I had a social distance hang in my friend's backyard for 4th of July and made those.
Hence your regrets to my party. Just kidding. I didn't know.
you ever throw fireworks? You ever shoot fireworks at a friend?
No.
No? Tyler?
Shoot fireworks at a friend?
Yeah, you've never had a firework fight?
Have you?
I have. Yeah, my cousin and I threw firecrackers at each other one year, and my ear still rings on occasion because it landed on my shoulder. Deeply regrettable. Don't do this, kids. It was really fun, though. It was fun as hell. I cannot stress that enough, that it was super fun and super dope. Don't do it, though. It was the coolest thing I've ever done, but please don't do it.
All right, so I guess I'm making lemon bars pretty soon.
I'm from South Dakota, where there are no rules. It is fully the outback. It is the American outback. No rules, just right.
Right.
So today, what's the name of this freaking movie?
So today,
Agatha and the Truth of Murder.
All right.
Yeah.
What is this, Harry Potter with that title? Ugh. Come on.
So I am going to just give you a little teeny bit of background for us who do not know. Agatha Christie, the real life author, she disappeared for 11 days in 1926. And still nobody knows what happened.
No idea. Which, dope.
I know. I freaking love it.
The same thing happened to Edgar Allan Poe as well, I believe.
Oh, is that right?
Writers were just disappearing for weeks on end
just
for no apparent
reason. Willy-nilly disappearing authors. Yeah, she disappeared for 11 days. What was going on in her life at the time? Her husband, Archie, her first husband, had asked her for a divorce. Because he was having an affair with this woman named Nancy Neal, and
no,
yes, Nasty Nancy, as they used to call her.
That's right.
I just remembered that line in Brokeback Mountain. Jack Twist, more like Jack Nasty, is more like it, and it's just the lamest line on the face of the planet, and God bless white Michelle Williams for trying your best with that line.
No, I bless her heart. That was one of the funniest moments of that movie.
So
like, there's so many funny moments in Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is absolutely peak comedy. Ugh. Anyway, sorry, Melissa.
Oh, that's okay. But they had an argument. He wanted a divorce, and Archie's like, all right, you know what? I'm going away for the weekend. And you're not coming.
My friend Jughead.
That's right. And I'm going to hang out with Jughead and Betty and Veronica. And don't you come. And that night.
I don't want to see you at the soda fountain. I don't want to see it.
Yeah, she disappeared that night. And the next morning, her car was found. But they had no idea where she was. And it was a whole thing. And the police were looking for her. And 11 days later, she turned up at a hotel. She was registered under the name Mrs. Teresa Neal, the surname of Nancy Neal, her husband's lover, weirdly, from Cape Town, South Africa. And she just told everyone she has no idea what happened. She's like, oh, I don't know. I lost my memory. Well, no idea what happened.
I couldn't possibly tell you. Man, that sounds fun. I know it would worry everybody, but that sounds fun to just like go off the grid for a fortnight.
Yeah. Some people believe her that she just has no memory of what happened, and some people don't believe that.
You mean I am one like of those the people. Screenwriters of this particular film.
Exactly right.
That is correct. So this movie takes place during that time. We open on a train car. A beautiful rendition of What a Friend We Have in Jesus is piping through. And then we see an older woman get bludgeoned to death.
Can I just take a moment and say, but what a friend. Praise be. Continue on.
Petition to have Friend Like Me as a church hymn from the film Aladdin.
I believe Kanye West did that in a Sunday service concert.
Fantastic.
God bless him. So a woman gets bludgeoned to death, unfortunately, while this haunting rendition plays and yada, yada, yada.
Actually, the murderer is singing it.
Yes.
It transitions to him singing it. And she's like, oh, that's okay. You can sing the song. And then he bludgeons her to death. Sucks.
Which is like the early 1900s of Showtime for you New Yorkers.
Showtime, where the guys come on the train and
dance. Oh, it's sing.
Yes. Okay. What time is it?
It's showtime. What a friend we have. Could you imagine? Beautiful.
Do you want to? Like the three of us?
Yeah, let's go.
Like, let's do it.
Yes. Yeah. Let's all go. We three. Then it cuts to Agatha Christie talking to Arthur Conan Doyle on a golf course. And this is a very fun scene.
Yeah.
She's like, I got writer's block. What do you got for me? And he's like, design a golf course. And they both talk about how they detest writing.
Yeah.
Which is how you know they're true writers. It's like, I hate writing. I hate my character. And Arthur Conan Doyle was like, man, I shouldn't have started writing Sherlock Holmes again. Because, fun fact, he killed him off and then brought him back like 10 years, not like 3 years later, and everyone got angry at him during that interim. So the next scene is her husband and her arguing about wanting a divorce. Is that correct?
He wants a divorce. She's like, no. And he's like, why? Like, I don't love you. Why are you doing this? And he's like, because I love you.
It's so cruel.
Girl, pull it together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's having a hard
really
time.
She's really rude to her housekeeper as well, who I can't remember the name. Like Carla or something?
Sure.
Let's call her Beepop.
Carla sounds fine.
I didn't know how to take that for a second.
Made myself laugh.
Do you know I watched this movie twice and did not get that? It was Arthur Conan Doyle.
That's
talking
fun.
To on the golf course.
Oh, that's fun. Can I tell you, she just said calls him Sir Arthur, and it's just like implied.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, I don't blame you for not.
So she is encountered. She goes and says, hey, I want to build a golf course. And the man is like, oh, you can't do that. You're a woman. And she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I forgot that I'm incapable of doing things. She's very frustrated. She's having quite a time of it.
Yeah.
And a woman named Florence approaches her and says, hey, so my girlfriend was killed a number of years ago. Can you help me solve this mystery? And she's like, yeah, sure. That sounds much better than everything else I'm doing.
My life.
Yeah. Precisely.
Yeah, she eventually relents and accepts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she sets up this whole big ruse where all of the suspects are coming and gathering because they are under the impression that someone has died, their relative has died, and they might be inheriting.
And they're all somehow related to this person.
Yeah.
Like by second, third cousins, twice removed on mother's sides, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Because it's a very wide net of suspects.
Yeah. So Agatha is posing as the executor of the will, and Florence is...
Executor?
Yeah.
An American as well.
What?
She's supposed to be, yeah.
Oh,
well, that
no.
didn't work.
Oh,
bless her.
Oh, criminy.
Or maybe the law office was in America. Maybe that's what it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
Let's say that. Yeah, let's give her the benefit of a doubt.
Yeah. Because Ruth Bradley, who plays Agatha Christie, I think she does a charming job of it. So Florence is posing as the housekeeper and Agatha is the executor of the will. And they arrange for them all to come to this manor or whatever. And, you know, it's very Poirot style. You know, they've got like a big dinner where they're all talking and someone says something racist and, you know, good times had by all.
There's a guy who's French and the woman's like, oh, your English is remarkably good. And he's like, yeah, I was an interpreter during the war. And shuts her down. Who are these suspects? Do we remember?
The French African boxer whose names are escaping me.
Yeah.
But there's him. There's a former army chaplain.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
There and his mom?
I believe so, yes.
Yes.
Yes, his mother.
That's right.
Then an older gentleman that's like a direct cousin of this person, right?
Yes. And he's been in stuff. We've seen him.
Of the nurse that was killed, right?
Yes.
You mean, okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then a younger woman as well.
Yeah.
Daphne.
Younger woman, Daphne. And her dad is also there.
Yes, that is
Wade,
the older man. Wade, okay.
There's a couple of older men. Wade is her father, and then there's an older man named Randolph, I believe.
Hmm.
All
these honkies look the same.
But yeah, roughly. Oh, and then there's a guy.
I will not tolerate white racism.
Yeah. You hate to do this white on white racism.
I won't stand for it.
Oh, jeez.
Mm.
I can excuse racism, as we've discussed on this podcast, but I draw a line, sir.
Who are you, Cheetah Corrado? Ugh. Crimity.
Ugh.
All she had to do was not talk. The easiest thing to do. Anyway.
Oh, there's also this guy named Travis, who is a... Like, he's a...
Oh, right. He's quite a character. He's a card.
He's a card. He runs at the mouth. He's the kind of person who says things like, well, if I did it, I'd still be here for the will reading.
Yeah.
Gotta get my money. It's like, oh, you're great, aren't you? Okay.
They cast the most sallow-cheeked man they could find. Very thin.
Yes.
Just absolutely looks physically like a weasel, which is not bad. He's not unhandsome, but he's a very specific character type. I don't want to be cruel to this man who is not in charge of his own appearance, but perfectly cast in this role.
Yeah.
Absolutely well done on many accounts.
They've also stolen their luggage to search it beforehand, which is brilliant. It's so good because Agatha's executing the will and she's telling them how everything's going to go. And one of them says, hey, what about our luggage? And she's like, I don't know. I'm not in charge of the luggage. It's like, fair enough.
Which is very true.
Yeah. And then you see her with Florence. And Florence's like, okay, I've got their luggage and I've searched everything. So then we start to have some interrogations. And in the most important one for the moment, Wade and Daphne, the father-daughter pair, are chatting with Agatha, and it comes out that Daphne was, a student nurse?
Yeah.
And she did something that could have made her, that could have discredited her and, like, gotten her kicked out of nursing school. And so, you know, they assume that the father did it because, you know, the dead lady was going to tell on her and get her kicked out of nursing school. So Agatha's like, got it all tied up. Great. And then.
Mm-hmm. it's this very interesting thing with the character of Agatha Christie. She behaves more like an inspector in one of her stories than a proper, you know, consulting detective, if that makes sense. She's quick to go, oh, okay, so it's this person. And then we'll find the evidence, which is very interesting.
Yes.
I actually really like that, because one would assume that they would make her like a genius detective, and she's just a normal person.
She's also having trouble with her stories because everyone's kind of figured out that she always makes it the least likely person. And so they can always predict who has done it. So she's like, it's always in real life the most obvious person, though.
Yeah.
So that's the struggle she's having with her writing at the moment. Mm. And it's always fun because, you know, the gathered folks at this fake will reading are talking about Agatha Christie's stories at one point.
Yeah.
And saying how, you know, they didn't like, one of them didn't like the murder of, what was it? Richard Aykroyd.
Yeah.
And, Agatha Christie, who is going under an assumed name, BTW, says, Roger. Mm-hmm. It's Roger Aykroyd.
I'm pretty sure it was Richard.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah, the reason they're all discussing her is because she's made headlines of her disappearance. Yeah.
Right.
And so they're all like, this weird writer has gone missing.
Right.
I'm surprised because at this point, it's only been 48 hours since she has absconded.
Yeah, she basically was just, you know, like, oh, okay, I'm going to take off and do this. And then suddenly there's all of Scotland Yard is looking for her. And she's like, oh, no, this is bad. So in the movie, we hear a popping noise.
Yeah. And someone goes, is that a gun? And Agatha's like, that's not what a gun sounds like.
Yeah.
And then a body falls behind them. You see it fall through the window, which is unfortunately
very, very funny. Yeah.
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 It's out of a Mel Brooks movie.
And it's Wade.
And it's, yeah.
It's Wade, the dad.
Wade, don't tell me.
The report that they're getting is that Wade jumped in front of a bullet to save his daughter, Daphne, because someone had tried to kill her. He is now dead. And so we get Scotland Yard.
Yes, Detective Dix.
Detective Dix.
Might as well be Philip Jackson rolling up.
Oh, my goodness.
Just Dix.
Yes, exactly. And this guy comes in. He does. He looks like a young Philip Jackson and youngish Philip Jackson. And the actor's name is Ralph Ineson, by the way. I am looking at IMDb.
If you couldn't tell he was British before.
So good. So this character is meant to be the inspiration for Inspector Japp. I am 100% sure that that is what the movie is implying.
Yes.
And the movie is good at not beating you over the head with at least this point.
Yeah. It's not walk the line.
Let's not be too Hastings now.
Oh, come on.
But she at no point says, oh, well, this inspector gives me an idea for a character.
It's not walk hard.
No. I was very much worried that they were going to just come right out and say it rather than let people who like Agatha Christie watch this movie and just be like, well, clearly this guy is where she would have gotten the inspiration for Inspector Japp. Oh, he's so good. He's so no nonsense. He interviews her and she gives him all the answers that he needs. And she says, can I continue doing my job? And he says, are you going to interfere with my investigation? She says, no. And then he says, you can do whatever you like.
Yeah.
I think it should also be noted that, like, he arrives with only, like, he's very shorthanded because the rest of Scotland Yard is looking for her, Agatha Christie.
Yeah. And he gives a very detailed explanation to everybody about how we are looking for an author in bushes, and I'm very glad to be here, but it is making my job a lot harder that this author is missing and I don't have enough people to do my job. Like, he just comes right out and says it.
Which is beautiful.
Oh, it's so good. Oh.
I want to play him in the remake.
Mm-hmm. Please.
He's amazing.
I'm sick of these authors disappearing.
These authors in these bushes.
What happens next?
I want Agatha Christie hiding in a bush on a t-shirt. I've decided.
Okay. I'll try to do my best to make it happen.
Great.
I think I don't remember the catalyst.
Mm-hmm.
But people are growing suspicious about the reasons why they're here.
Yay.
Oh, yeah. Because she keeps delaying
actual will
reading.
Reading. Also,
it's more like a won't reading. Am I right, folks?
You are.
Exactly right. And yes, so she has determined, you know, this is not Wade. He just died. It couldn't have been him. In fact, it could have been him, but okay.
Yeah.
But she has discounted him as a suspect, as he is now dead. And she continues questioning people. A bunch of them were there basically because they just had soldier boots, and the person mm-hmm. that did this crime had soldier boots.
Yeah, she speaks with Travis. He was like, she goes, you can't be, you can't inherit anything because you were arrested. And he's like, well, that's not how it works.
Right.
Because you have to be, like, actually charged.
Yes. But he knows some more things about the crime because mm-hmm. he was arrested that he's able to tell her to give her a couple more clues.
Yeah. He's like, the boot don't fit like Cinderella.
Yeah. It's good.
And this scene, once again, this guy's really good. He's like, lights up a cigarette and he's like, it's very, I don't know, old school, like, interview for a crime thing. I don't know. It's just, the whole scene was like.
Yeah. And meanwhile, of course, we are having the investigation into Wade's death. And this person that, I mean, I guess just to get this out of the way, the person that was supposedly going to murder Daphne doesn't exist. Because it was actually Daphne who killed her dad because he was bad. He was not a good dad.
Bad dad.
Yeah. This comes out a bit later, but. You know,
he made her try to open a can of beans that she couldn't, and that's why.
Oh my god!
Good grief!
That was this year.
Oh my god!
That was like 2 weeks ago.
No, it was before. It was the beginning of the year, and it was before January 6th.
Okay.
It was the first week of this year.
Oh my god, because it was like four, like every Wednesday in January was something was going on.
So yeah, we learned that Wade was the original bean dad, and Daphne.
The OG beanie weenie, if you will.
If you will.
I won't. Those who do say I.
Nay.
Abstain.
Then why call the vote?
New rule.
It's our 100th episode. I had to bring it back for the bit.
New rule. You can only call a vote if you're going to abstain from it.
All in favor of abstaining?
I abstain.
I abstain as well.
Perfect.
So the abstains have it.
Yep. But yeah, Agatha basically says to Daphne, listen, this guy sounds like a jerk. I'm sure I can help you. It wasn't premeditated. They're not going to hang you for this. And I guess they don't. I guess it's okay. I don't remember that being resolved with
in
Daphne.
In any way, shape, or form.
Okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't just me. I didn't miss something.
Well, I think the film, like, leaves in a way that, like... Things are happening still.
Sure.
Okay.
Things are still being resolved post-credits.
Yes.
Yeah. Because it's about Agatha and not the crime.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's about Agatha and the truth.
Ooh. The truth.
Of murder.
So we also get a chat with Cousin Randolph, who seems like, you know, a stodgy old guy who wouldn't like anything and hated Florence because she was her was his cousin's lover.
No. Florence was the nurse that was killed in the train. Mabel is the housekeeper.
I've been saying Florence this entire time. Whoops.
Can I tell you? It's Florence Nightingale as well as her middle name.
Yeah, it is.
Florence Nightingale, sure, because she is the niece of that Florence Nightingale.
Ooh.
Okay. So just a note for everyone. This is for Tristan to take out and put at the beginning of the episode. You don't really have to. He's like, I'm not going to. I have been saying Florence this whole time when I met Mabel. Sorry.
Womp, 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 womp.
Just about the entire episode. The woman who has been helping Agatha is Mabel. And Mabel was, it's very heavily implied at the beginning. And then Randolph comes out and basically says that they were a couple. So,
can I tell you?
Mabel? Mabel not.
Maybe it's Mabel. Lean. I don't know. Anyway, I was thick and I missed this part. So when you said that, I was like, oh, what?
Oh.
And I was like, I know we look for lesbians in all the wrong places, Melissa.
No.
But.
No, this is straight up. They straight up lesbians.
Are they straight up lesbians, though? Or are they lesbian up lesbians?
I mean, they knew. Like, people knew.
Yeah. So Randolph says, everyone thought that I didn't like her because... I knew that my cousin preferred women, and I didn't really care about that. That's not why I disliked Mabel. I disliked her for other reasons. I thought she was, you know, I just didn't think she was a good person. And
yeah, because the big thing is that Randolph never met Mabel. So he was just going off of what he inferred from his conversations with his cousin.
So the rumor was, what I mean to say is the way that they met, way Mabel and Florence met, was they were both nurses in the war. And Mabel gives us a story about how much better Florence was than her. And because Mabel was very good at being like, okay, this person looks like they can be saved. This person doesn't look like they can be saved. Just gotta dissociate from feelings and go with like, well, gotta save the more likely person, right? And
very good at triaging.
Yeah, someone had come in and they said, this guy, he's terrible, he's a terrible guy, you shouldn't.
He's a German soldier, so they're actively fighting against this person.
Yeah, don't save him. And Florence was so good, she said, no, we've got to save everyone we can. And she went and she saved that person.
And that person's name was Albert Einstein.
Unfortunately.
And that little girl was me.
If only that were the case.
Yeah. So when they were looking for the killer of Daphne's father, Wade, the original Bean Dad.
Beanie Weenie.
They found the murder weapon in Mabel's room, and she is promptly arrested. So she is gone for the interviews with Randolph and a couple of the other folks.
Oh. How did I miss this? I watched this movie twice.
Well, we'll get to that in the review.
Okay.
Yeah, we will. So
I just thought that was important to know.
It probably is. Yeah. I didn't seem to think it was important because I didn't didn't notice that it happened.
Because when you were talking about like how Daphne was actually cool, I was like, huh, how is she going to bring it back to Mabel's arrest?
Wasn't gonna.
She's not. Mm-mm.
As far as I was concerned, it didn't happen.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The Amateur Detective Club. You don't come here for accuracy.
You really don't. And if you do, why are you here?
Yeah. God bless. Thank you so much for listening. We'll take a break. Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning into our big 100th episode, spectacular episode. I got a t-shirt cannon, and I'm shooting it off. I got fireworks I'm shooting at people. I'm going crazy good up banana, full tilt bozo over here. We're on the Scavengers Network. You can go to scavengersnetwork.com. So check out some of their great podcasts, such as Spooky Spazzes, where they talk about the paranormal, FMK All Day, which is Blank Mary Kill with various people. They're like really short episodes. Highly recommend checking that out.
That's
very fun.
Fun
podcast. They're doing live streams. They're doing Pokemon live streams. Check that out as well. You can go to our merch store, Teespring. Is it Teespring? Yeah, it's teespring.com/themill. Check out our great merchandise there. And again, thank you for listening for 100 episodes, Mom.
And thank you to my friend Michael Reese, who recently caught up.
Wow, I can't imagine. God bless. I can't imagine like listening to my voice for more than an hour.
But I do it every week. Just
kidding. Yeah, seriously.
Love you.
We've broken Tristan, so in the meantime...
I love this trend of dunking on me. I think it's so funny. Don't mind if I do.
We're on social media at ADCPod. We're on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. We also have a Facebook group. And shout out to the person... who wrote, I don't know, for every question, and says, I just want to be a detective, for completely missing the point of the Facebook group. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Also, it's, I think, instead of deductive, it says seductive skills for one of the prompts.
It
which
does!
Is, I think, better. I don't know who wrote that. It very well could have been me.
No, I made that edit. I was single at the time. And
if they want to contact us directly, what's our email, Melissa?
AmateurDetectiveClub@gmail.com. Please do not contact us, as we said at the beginning, with a real mystery. We don't know what we're doing.
Not yet. I will get my private investigator's certificate sometime this or next year. That is my plan.
And when Tristan does that, he'll have a different email address for those purposes.
That's a good point. I should have a professional email. Could you imagine on my business card? Yes, Tristan Miller, private detective at Amateur Detective Club.
Private detective and podcaster.
Yeah.
Which one's which? Who's to say?
Yeah.
All right. It's our 100th episode, and I'm going to go for it.
The enthusiasm.
Because I'm going to attempt my Hastings impression for the first time.
Hey!
This is not going to go well. Good Lord!
Spiking that
the
mic.
The Amateur Detective... Yeah, it's already gone. It's already gone.
I was really hoping you were going to be like, and here's my Hastings impression. Howdy, y'all. I'm Captain Arthur Hastings.
That would have been the funnier bit. I should have.
Well, but it was still funny.
I earnestly attempted a good lord, a la Hastings.
Loved it.
Beautiful.
And that good lord is indicative of the membership levels you can find on our Patreon. Visit patreon.com/ADCpod and find out how you can be a member today.
We got a bunch of perks. You could go to the Discord server, yada, 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 bonus content and episodes. Okay, back to the show.
You've seen Patreons before. You've seen what to do.
And at this point, if you're listening to our 100th episode, you are not listening. Like, you have listened to this show before. You know what the perks are.
Yeah, you know, those people who are just coming on board for Agatha and the Truth of Murder.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is probably the screenwriter, if we tag this film.
Let's not say that. All right.
Bless their hearts, they try, but we do have a recurring message from our Patreon member.
All right. Oh, yes. Soup.
And then lastly, a personal plug.
Mm-hmm.
Yours truly is a part of Scowl, a comedy wrestling troupe that can be found on Twitch and the YouTube. Scowl, C. I already started to spell that wrong.
Who are you, me?
S-C-O-W-L. So Scowl Fight on Twitch and YouTube.
Back to the show.
Okay. Melissa, who was it?
So here's the thing. No.
Which is always what you want to hear about. So here, let me break it down for you, okay?
Agatha's got it.
So what happened was.
Agatha's got it all figured out. And she is talking to the heretofore barely spoken of son and mother. It's a grown man's son who is a chaplain and the mom.
He's getting that little tramp.
Is it the mom? Is it his mom?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Mm-hmm. There is a father and his mom.
Sure.
That is the one musical theater reference you will ever get out of me.
There was a father and his mom, and
and his mom.
She was beautiful. There we go.
Oh, yeah.
Sveeny Todd.
Okay.
Beanie Weenie Todd,
wife.
If you will.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I that was my
Fleet Street. What to do with all these beans? Gonna put them in pies.
That would have been a better idea than dead bodies.
Oh, and if we didn't have We See White American Theater, I'm sure we would have had a production of Sweeney Todd where it's set in the hood and it's on Fleek Street.
Oh my god.
So I'm very happy. That's no longer a concern.
As always, hopefully. Tyler, I appreciate you testing my gag reflex. So, what happened? Yeah, that was Jack Twist level of nasty. Bringing it all back.
Okay. Agatha has worked out that this mother's other son was killed in the war by the man that Florence saved, that Mabel was talking about, the bad guy, this bad man. And so if she hadn't saved him, her son or other son wouldn't have been dead. And so she and her live son plotted to kill Florence on this train. And he says, I hit her in the head and then I told her exactly why this was all happening and I made sure she understood and it was very upsetting. And then I beat her into a coma. Ooh. And yeah. She died. So then he starts to try to strangle Agatha.
Very bold.
And then I believe Dix comes in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
oh, Dix come in. I can't believe it took us an hour to get to that.
A Dix joke?
Yeah, a Dix joke.
Mm-hmm. So he saves Agatha, obviously, and he says, great, you're under arrest, probably. And Hey, lady. Also, I know who you are.
Yeah. He heard everything through the wall. And the lady's like, it's all hearsay and nonsense. And then they decide to, and this is the resolution to the thing that we were like, it kind of goes away. They frame her for the murder that occurs in the home because they can't, like, actually get her other than the confession that they all heard. So they frame her for the death of Wade, I believe.
And why
does
he... Okay.
Yeah.
Which is messed up.
It is. And why could they not use his confession? Like, why doesn't that work? Because he made it to a... They all heard it.
Yeah, but, like, there's no evidence to back it up.
Yeah.
I suppose.
It's hearsay. It's hearsay. Gone down.
And, like, the what people heard was, like, loose enough that I'm sure, like, it could be twisted.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, because I thought in that day, like now, obviously, that would never hold up in court. But I thought in that day that would have been fine.
Mm-hmm.
I guess not. So, OK, so that's fun.
Yeah.
And then I mean, just to
police do that.
To tie up the rest of the episode, the movie, Detective Japp, I mean Dix. Dix says, hey, by the way, lady, I know who you are, too. You're Agatha Christie. How about you go home and...
My boys are so tired.
So she does, and she just tells everyone that she can't remember anything like Agatha did in real life. And she says, okay, yeah. Archie, you can have your divorce.
Yep.
I'm going to go marry a younger archaeologist later.
And it finishes with her writing, what, a murder in Mesopotamia or...
Death on the...
Nile.
Yeah.
Well, it's implied.
It's implied, yeah. Because you don't see her write the last word. She just writes death on the...
Who wants to go first?
Okay, I'll go. it was... enjoyable at times. Yeah, it was.
Much like life.
Yeah, much like life. On balance, I'm glad that I watched it. A little sad that I watched it twice. Nah, it's all right.
Damn.
No, I mean, like, listen, I watched it again while I was making muffins. It's a pleasant Saturday morning. And, it's a fun thing if you're an Agatha Christie buff to watch and, you know, would account for her disappearance, gives Agatha an active role in a murder. It's a fun idea. A lot of the performances were really fun. It was a little hard to follow, apparently, at points. I thought I was following it fine, but I guess I missed entire plot points. And... woman who played Agatha Christie was very good. The Ralph Ineson as Inspector Dix was wonderful. And yeah, I had a pretty good time, but nothing to write home about. I'm going to give it a 6.
All right.
I give it... yeah, just 5 full mustaches. I thought it was harmless. It was pleasant enough, you know, to get through. And I probably, like, would, like, if someone was like, oh, I think this looks like a cute movie, like, I'd watch it again.
Yeah.
But, you know, if someone was like, oh, what's a really good mystery, like, this isn't going to be on my list.
Right.
But I loved the blending of, you know, real life elements. From, like, the actual, you know, Florence Nightingale's niece case, as well as the disappearance of Agatha Christie herself.
Mm-hmm.
I think they did an admirable job of trying to blend the two.
Yes.
I wonder if there was maybe an easier murder for Agatha to have gone away for than this. But yeah, I thought the performances were really solid. I thought there were some really fun moments, in particular with not Jap.
He's just not Jap.
Yeah.
And I love, like, the little kernels of, like, Agatha Christie stuff scattered throughout. Like, when they're talking about, like, I think it's towards the end where they're talking about, you know, a group of strangers, like, coming together to, you know, solve a murder or, like, do something that, like, kind of alluded to Murder in the Orient Express.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like those nuggets. But, yeah, overall, eh.
Yeah. I would give it an eh as well. I'm going to be probably a little bit more harsh about it. I'd say, like, a 3.5 or a 4. I wouldn't. Like, if someone wanted to watch it with me, I think I'd sit through it, but there's nothing, I almost watched it twice, and then I just started scanning through the movie, and I was like, this is good enough. They do an admirable job linking everything together, and I also have this problem, and we've talked about this before on the program, specifically with, like, Knives Out, of, like, I get in my head of, like, how I would prefer it to go.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would have liked would have been Mabel to have done it, because she's truly the least likely, least, you know, suspect. Yeah. And for her to replace Agatha at the end, and having murdered Agatha Christie, and the actual Agatha Christie after her disappearance isn't actually Agatha Christie. That's what I would have written, which is not marketable in any way, shape, or form. Anyhow, there's a great moment that I wanted to talk about. There's a knock at the door at one point, and it was a shave and a haircut. You know, and that made me think of Roger Rabbit. And then I had to Google. I was like, hey, is that, you know, anachronistic? And it's not. The shave and the haircut has been around since 1911.
Oh.
Yeah. So we've had over 100 years of shave and a haircut two bits.
Happy 100th anniversary to Shave and a Haircut as well.
There you go.
But yeah, it was, you know, a serviceable film. All the acting was good. I think the cinematography was flat, which didn't really keep me engaged.
True. Yes.
You know, it wasn't, like, terrible, but it was a little boring. I think if it had been shot differently, it would have really elevated everything. But it's also in this very gray, dark palette,
mm-hmm.
which is, like, to me, kind of, like, I don't know, it was kind of hard to focus on, and it was kind of hard to follow, because I never got the motivation of the murderers until you said it, Melissa. Mm. So, all in all, it's like a could do better, but it's not bad.
So, one question I want to ask you before we wrap. What do you think, quickly, what do you think happened during Agatha Christie's actual disappearance? Let's solve this mystery once and for all.
Do you want a fun answer or do you want an actual answer?
I want your actual answer.
Okay, I think she just had a nervous breakdown and went away for a little bit and then came back. I think she just, like, had an episode.
Do you think she legitimately couldn't remember what happened?
No, I think she was lying about that. I think she probably got drunk enough where there were nights that she didn't remember what was happening.
Mm.
You know, but I honestly think she probably just was, like, going through it.
In my heart, she was on a dick safari, but in my mind, like, I'm more of Tristan's mind, where I think that she went away, and I think it was more embarrassment after she, like, kind of, like, came into, you know, her most normal mental state.
Mm-hmm.
Just being like, yeah, I don't want to talk about how I couldn't handle this divorce.
Yeah.
So I'm moving on, and so should the rest of us.
I also think she probably, like, 5 days in, realized what was going on, and then was like, okay, I can't. As agreeing with you, Tyler, of, like, I'm just gonna stay missing for a bit because I don't want to deal with the consequences of my actions.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I think too. I think that she was like, I'm just gonna go to a hotel for a little while, and just feel my feelings. And then when she realized what was happening, she's like, oh no, how am I gonna? Yikes. And spent a couple of days just probably being like, I don't know what to do. And then once she realized that the best thing for her to do was to just say she didn't remember anything and never talk about it again, that's what she did.
Mm-hmm.
And like, she never talked about it. She completely skipped over it in her autobiography. I think she was really embarrassed.
That's fascinating.
It's so interesting. But yeah.
Oh. I can't wait to do that with my autobiography. is about this podcast.
Skip over the podcast completely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Due to sheer embarrassment.
It would be funny, like, if we all became famous in our own respective ways, and then we all write books about our lives, and we just leave this completely.
And then...
and leave that for the next amateur detective.
Like, actively ignore the fact that it happened. Love it. Like,
podcast? I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't
about.
Remember a podcast.
No.
What is this?
I don't know what that is. I've never heard of a podcast.
Oh, goodness. All right. Speaking of not knowing, I don't think we quite know what we're doing for our next episode yet.
No, we don't, which is, you know, one of life's great mysteries and a joy to not know what you're going to do.
So look for clues on our social media and see if you can figure it out.
Mm-hmm, sure.
We're, an we'll ARG. Do
that. Yeah. That sounds fun. All right. Who calls? Do we? Does it matter?
I now call this meeting of the Amateur Detective Club to a close.